So, in terms of AI, the legislature mm-hmm. passed a bill last year, voice vote, you know, as unanimous as it can get, that talked about regulating AI. What mm-hmm. does it actually do, and what will the impact be this fall for television commercials?
Well, the regulation applies to political advertisements, and it basically requires that the advertisers, if they use AI, say so in the ads, that the content was produced by AI in some kind of way. And so we've actually done research on this in terms of correcting misinformation, when we'll show people a misinformation correction piece that a human has created and then that a bot has created. And when we tell them an AI bot has created it, people actually tend to trust it a little bit more. And so that kind of ran against what we thought might happen. And so people tended to trust the AI-created information correction. Now, political advertisements, usually not information correction, is usually really strong claims, sometimes claims that aren't true or really flirting the line with what's true. Candidates really like to control their message, and so I'd be surprised if they fully ceded their own advertisements to AI. They might use AI to generate ideas. They might ask ChatGPT, give me 10 potential ways to make this claim, or give me 20 potential, crowds that look like this or that. But then they might find the one they like and then go shoot it for real, and then they wouldn't have to say that it was AI generated. I think the real danger with AI in this election is not in campaign advertisements, it's in social media posts that go viral.
And there's really no regulation for that.
That's right. There's really nothing the state legislature or the Congress can do to stop that, unless they really want to regulate people's speech in a way that would probably be very difficult to do successfully and get passed out of the courts.
So back to the bill in Wisconsin, the one thing that jumped out at me was the only thing that it really seemed to do was relieve television stations of any responsibility. It made sure that they couldn't be held liable if the campaigns themselves did not disclose or disclosed improperly.
Yeah, it's very similar to how social media operates, where if you or I say something that's completely false on Facebook, it goes viral, lots of people believe it, Facebook can't get in trouble. And now the same kind of principle applies to AI in television ads, where it won't be the TV stations that air the ads that get into trouble, but the candidates who didn't disclose that there was AI.
What obligation is there on the WBA, the Broadcasters Association, or individual television stations? I tried contacting them, and none of them would go on mm-hmm. camera to talk about how they handle individual claims or allegations that ad is false, it needs to be pulled down. And we know we're going to be flooded with advertising, so what is the stopgap there? In terms of, is it just more truth, more ads against each other?
There are examples of ads getting pulled down because they're not true, or the reaction to them was so negative that some stations sometimes will say, we're not going to air this particular ad. Whether that happens because the content of the ad or part of the content of the ad was created by AI, I think is an open question. Probably only if there's misinformation being sown in one way or another. And even then, broadcast companies aren't looking to make history here and be accused of bias by taking down the ad of one side but not the other. And so if one side is really good at disclosing, if they use AI in ads and the other side isn't, that might pose a real problem for them. It's reasonable for viewers of television programming to believe the content that they see is verifiably true. And it's reasonable for people to think that the content they see in the ads that stations choose to air are true. And so there is a bit of responsibility on the side of the broadcasters, but it's also extremely hard to police. How can they know for sure the video was AI generated? How can they know for sure the script was AI generated? These are really difficult problems to solve without universally accepted ways of solving them.
So we've seen, you talked about social media, and we saw an example of misinformation when Kamala Harris first announced she had that rally in Michigan at the airport hangar. And then there were all sorts of conspiracy theories saying that was an AI-generated
right.
photo. Is that the most likely way that AI comes into play in terms of it just being a boogeyman? Like it's something to scare people, that this is all fake, you can't trust anything?
I think that there are kind of two ways AI can matter. One is using AI as a boogeyman, so something happens and the other side says, oh, that must be AI, it can't possibly be real. You should be skeptical of the other side because they're using AI. The other is that a candidate picks up on a post that uses AI and treats it as true, which has also happened, where a former President Trump shared information that Taylor Swift had endorsed him, which she had not, right? And so when these kinds of things happen too, especially when the candidates themselves pick it up and share it, those things are going to take on a life of their own in really remarkable and fast ways that are hard to regulate.
Is this any different than, like, you know, the scare about deepfakes 4 years ago, or, you know, Russian influence? I mean, we just saw the Biden administration release new sanctions against Russia today. Is AI new, or is it just the new term for lies and misinformation?
It's another tool, right? AI can tell us things that are verifiably true, and AI can make things up. It's not AI that's doing that. It's how the user, you know, intends to share that information. And so it's another tool. It can be used. It can be used appropriately. It can be misused. Some people will use it well. Some people will misuse it. It's really hard, I think, to think about how should we approach content that's produced by artificial intelligence. Right? Artificial intelligence could look at the box score of a baseball game and write up a story about how, you know, this player went 2 for 4 and had a home run, and this one had the game-winning RBI, and the pitcher went this many innings. It could write a story that's probably fairly serviceable. But if AI starts describing the crowd reaction, now AI is making that up. And so what's the line that we want to draw? And the same kind of question is going to come toward us when it comes to political campaigns. Where are we going to draw the line about claims that are artificially generated? And how are we going to police who's making those claims? Are they disclosing where the claims come from? Candidates have to cite sources when they make claims about things their opponents have said in ads presently. And now in Wisconsin, they have to say if it came from AI. Whether that means it's false or true, though, is still another question.
And what about third-party interest groups who don't care if they get fined $1,000?
These are the places where I think we might have to pay a little more attention. Like, they don't mind paying a fine, and they don't think that the negative attention will rise to the level of the good that they get for their side by fomenting chaos and sharing things that aren't true. And so in a world where there's not very much regulation on what third-party advocates can do, the law in Wisconsin is trying to at least say, you've got to tell us if it's coming from AI, but that's not the same thing as saying, is the information true? That's a separate question.
Is it, I think some people think of AI and they think of images, but you've also talked about how it can create the phrasing and the wording. If AI helps generate something, but then a human goes in and touches it up, is it really AI anymore? Or is it just if it's Johnny Cash singing a Beyonce song or some other use of it?
Right. I think this is an open question, right? So it'll be very difficult, I think, to prove that a script from an ad was AI generated, even if it was, or even if the impetus was AI generated. So I asked ChatGPT, write me an ad that talks about my advocacy for reproductive rights and low taxes. And it gives me 3 scripts, and I like one of them, and I tweak it a little bit to put it in my voice. Have I used AI? Yes. Is the final copy AI? Well, not wholly. So do I have to disclose? Not clear. And so it's probably something the courts would have to resolve.
Who's most likely to be susceptible to these kinds of advertising? Because we already know that the vast majority of people have already made up their minds. So is it the late, low-info people that come in at the end, or is it seniors, or who's out there for this?
So I think in terms of believing content they haven't encountered before, low-information voters who are paying attention at the last minute are often susceptible to messages because they're new to them. They haven't been paying attention to the race, and these things are new. Sometimes, though, those of us who are really invested in politics could also be swayed by this if the information hits us in our political sweet spot. If it is something good about our side or really bad about the other side, we might be more susceptible to believe that information if it's false, and you know, not do the work that it takes to try to suss out whether it's true.
When it comes to the long history of dirty campaigning and all that kind of stuff, where does this fall in? Is this a new era of scariness and of, you know, low-ball politics, or is this just kind of fitting into the pattern of where we're going?
I think it's I think it's another tool to campaign in the way that political candidates in the United States have always campaigned. There have always been negative campaigns. There have always been campaigns that have flirted with the truth. There have always been campaigns that go over flirting with the truth and just start saying things that aren't true. AI is a tool to help with that. I'm a little more worried about AI-generated deepfakes where you have Kamala Harris or Donald Trump saying something that they did not say, but it looks like they did. That's something that's a little more worrisome than AI generating content or making a crowd seem a little bit bigger. I mean, these are problems, but they're not the same as, you know, putting words in someone's mouth and leading a lot of people to draw a conclusion about someone that you know, is coming from a false pretense.
And where is the line when it comes to someone who's not part of a campaign, but or maybe they're part of a campaign, of putting out an ad that's designed to influence, but also comes across as maybe a parody? Like, oh, it was clear I was making a joke about this when I put that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's really difficult, right? The Supreme Court has protected our right to engage in satire and parody, and I don't know that the court imagined that we might be able to generate content where it looks like, you know, the actual person you're parodying is saying the words, you know, in a way. So it's a little bit new. I think that, you know, people who do that are on the safest ground if they, you know, disclose prominently that this is a parody or satire or something like that. But, you know, sometimes people will read something in The Onion and get really upset, even though, of course, The Onion is America's finest fake news source. It's a pretend, you know, satirical source. And sometimes people who aren't familiar with it will see it and think it's true. And that'll certainly happen with AI-generated images and content as well.
And where do you, mentioning The Onion, brings it to, like, the Epoch Times or the Wisconsin Independent, which is, you know, and both of these being mailed to people's homes without them asking for them. Mm-hmm. And Epoch Times had booths at both conventions. Mm-hmm. Where did those kind of outlets fit into this whole this conversation?
They're trying to generate conversations about issues they care about and help candidates they prefer. And that's really no different than any other kind of campaign strategy. They're trying to help their side and hurt the other side. You know, a lot of these sources aren't news sources. They're sharing things that don't go through a rigorous fact check. They don't correct mistakes. They don't punish reporters who make errors. They don't seem to try to be fair.
To both sides.
Well, there are, you know, there are ranges of these, you know, kinds of things. You know, I would say, you know, Fox News is a little different in that they have different kinds of programming. So Pete Buttigieg, a spokesperson for the Biden administration, a cabinet member, will go on to Fox News and answer questions, right? That's not happening so much in the Epoch Times. Although, you know, there are lots of hosts on the opinion programming side of Fox News in their primetime, their most watched shows, where lots of things are said that don't pass the test of of meeting the verifiable truth.
And is that, in terms of the public and how they're influenced, I mean, Fox News kind of infiltrating over to the Epoch Times, Fox News clearly has a news division where they do traditional journalism, and then they have their primetime shows.
That's right.
And a lot of people can't tell the difference.
That's right. It's akin to a newspaper where, you know, newspapers clearly say, this is our opinion page, and some people will still read them and think, oh, well, this newspaper is so biased, they're sharing their opinions, when that is the purpose of that page, right? And the purpose of Fox programming 7 p.m. on, you know, in the central time zone is to persuade us, not to inform us.
How bad is it going to be for ads this fall? I mean, do you track those? I know you've done research on some of these things. Mm-hmm. What does this look like?
I think we're going to have a historic number of ads. We'll probably have a historic number of negative ads. We're seeing both sides start to devote more resources to social media advertising, which is a little more of the Wild West in terms of political advertising. And I think, you know, but the real gray area is when someone else does something using AI, making stuff up, trying to share things that aren't true, and then a candidate picks it up and shares it. So it's not an advertisement, but it's still the candidate endorsing this content that is false. Like, that's where we're in the most trouble, and we need journalists the most to help us sort through what's true and what's not.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
I think that covers it.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
All right.